In fact, he might be the bass singer of the group, of the quartet. You never know. All right. If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, how about grabbing those and turning with me to the Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter. The Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter. And we'll preach from there tonight. Luke chapter number 15. If you're there and you want to stand, now's the time to do that. And we're going to read verse number 8, 9, and 10 and preach from those three verses and hopefully be a blessing to you tonight. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Father, help us tonight as we preach from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday night, I began preaching from Luke chapter number 15 in our series of parables. And in Luke 15, we find three very well-known parables. We call them the parable of the lost things. We call them the parable of the lost things because in these parables, something is lost and something is found. Last week, we looked at the first of the three parables and preached on the parable of the lost sheep. Tonight I want us to look at the second of the three and preach on the parable of the lost silver. The parable we will look at tonight is very similar to the one from last Sunday night. It is similar in the fact that, again, something is lost. Its basic principle is the same. Something is lost, something is found. It is also similar in the fact that when the lost thing is found, there is rejoicing. But while this parable is similar, it does display something new for us that I would like you to see tonight. It displays for us a deeper and more meaningful relationship between the lost thing and the one that suffers the loss. I told you last Sunday that undoubtedly everyone in the crowd that was here listening to Jesus could identify with these three parables. There were certainly men and boys in crowd that would understand what it felt like to lose a sheep. There were a lot of shepherds in the land of Judea that would understand what it was like to lose a sheep. There were women in the crowd that could feel the pain of this woman's tragedy to realize that one of her precious coins had been lost. There were parents probably in the crowd that could feel the pain that the father felt when the son turned his back on dad and left for the far country and become a prodigal. They could feel that pain. Maybe there were individuals in the crowd that knew what it was like to be the lost individual, to be the prodigal that went away and went astray. And so they could understand that pain that they could inflict and that they could harm someone with. Well, God gave us these three because He wants us to understand something unique in each parable about His relationship with you and me. Tonight I'll give you three things. I won't be before you long, and I'll let you go to the house. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down first of all. I want you to notice the preciousness of the thing that was lost. I want you to notice preciousness, or how precious the thing is that is lost. Verse number 8 says, either one woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. When we read the story of the lost coin, we oftentimes imagine that this woman literally loses a coin. That's what the scriptures tell us. Therefore, as modernized Americans, we think that maybe this coin was part of her life savings. Therefore, this coin would have been very important to her. To lose a piece of that would have been devastating if that coin was lost. But there's more to the story than just losing a part of savings or losing a valuable coin that maybe she had stored away or saved away. The teaching of the story is more important than that. When a young Jewish girl was married, she began to wear a headband. And on that headband would be coins or silver coins on her headband. Today, when a woman is engaged in marriage, she wears an engagement ring and she wears a wedding ring. And that ring on her left hand symbolizes the relationship that she has with her husband. It says, I am married, I have love in my life, I have someone that I care for and that cares for me. But in Jewish times, they did not wear rings on their hands, they wore coins on their head. And you can see that in the picture. I appreciate freebiblepictures.com. They're a help this week, and so we appreciate them. Therefore, if you think about now this, what this actually symbolizes, this headband with these silver coins, it would have pictured her marriage relationship. You can imagine how precious these coins were to this woman. They symbolized her love, symbolized her life, they symbolized her relationship. That was who she was. She was a woman that was in love. She was a married woman. Now, I've said this as we've studied these parables, and I'll say it again tonight. When we study a parable, it is important for us from the beginning to determine who is pictured and what is represented. I think the picture is clear in this parable, but in case, I'll say this quickly. You and I are pictured or symbolized as the lost coin. And God is pictured as the woman that loses the coin. Therefore, I think that I can say you and I are precious to Him. Children sing the song, red and yellow, black and white. We are all precious in His sight, and that is absolutely. You are valuable to Him. In fact, this headband of coins symbolized her marriage. I think I could say it this way. You are beloved by Christ, you are betrothed to Christ, and you are the bride. God loves you. You say, well, does God really love me? Absolutely, He does. John 3:16, He so loved the world, and He loved you, and He loved me. Malachi says this, speaking of the believers in Malachi 3:17, He said, then they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own, his son that serveth him. God even describes us as His jewels. We are the jewel of His life. We are the apple of His eye. We are precious to Him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I think we can see the preciousness of our relationship to God. God loves us, okay? Get that. God loves you and God loves me. What's interesting is that in the Bible, the coin that was so precious becomes lost, but never stopped loving that coin. She searched and hunted and looked until she found it. Why? Because she loved it when it was on her head, and she loved it when it was missing in her house. And that is so wonderful to know that God loves us. He loves us when we do right, and He loves us when we do wrong. He loves us when we're in fellowship, and He loves us when we are not. God loves us. In case you haven't been told that somebody loves you lately, can I say that God loves you? Amen. So I see the preciousness of the thing that is lost. Number two, I see the persistence in finding the thing that was lost. The persistence in finding the thing that was lost. Let's go back to verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. According to our text, when the woman in our text notices, she realizes that something devastating has happened. Can you not see? I picked that picture. Can you not see the devastation that is on her face. That's good. Not okay. She is devastated when she realizes that something that is precious to her has been lost. If these coins symbolize her love and symbolize her relationship, then you can imagine the heartache and the heartbreak when she discovers that something so precious to her is missing. You ladies, me out right now. I am a man. I'm a man that tries to kid myself that I can lift weights and do manly things like that. So I wear a silicone band. I could replace my band with about $20. But some of you ladies, you've probably got a band on your finger that's a little more valuable than the band that I'm wearing tonight. Can you imagine waking up tomorrow, looking at your nightstand, looking at your dresser and your wedding band not being there? How devastating that would be. How that would make you feel. And now experiences that devastation. She is heartbroken because something that she loves has gone missing. So notice what she does. The scripture says that she begins to light a candle. That's the first thing that happens in verse 8. Will she not light a candle? Palestinian home, dark, and so it makes sense that she would light a candle to help her find the thing that is missing. And again, we see a picture here. If you and I are pictured as the valuable thing that goes missing, and we are the lost coin in this parable, and God is the one that searches for us until He finds us, then we see a picture in this candle. The candle is pictured by the Holy Spirit that shines the light of Christ in a dark world. When a sinner is lost without Jesus Christ, it is the job of the Holy Spirit to shine a light and reveal to them where they are at, their condition of their soul, and how they need a Savior. You see, the reality is that we don't go missing and God just can't find us. But when we are lost without God, we cannot find our own way. We cannot find ourselves. And therefore, the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight of conviction, shines the spotlight of realization in our lives. And He shows us where we are without Jesus Christ. Someone described it this way. They said it was like a light going off. And it was, because it was the light of God, the light of the Holy Spirit, revealing to you where you were without Jesus Christ. You see, when a lost person comes to Christ, they come to Christ because they have realized they need a Savior. They are lost without Him. And they did not come to that realization on their own. The Holy Spirit revealed that to him through the candle or the light of the Holy Spirit. I had someone talking to me some time back. I may have told you this. But I had someone talking to me a while back. And they were struggling with salvation. And really what they were struggling with was whether they had an opportunity to be saved or not. They had heard enough and just really misunderstood enough, unfortunately, that they questioned whether they had gone past the point in their life where there was no return and they couldn't be saved. And they told me, they said, "Josh, I just don't know if I've gone too far. I've been thinking about it. I've been worrying about it. I'm afraid that I've just gone too far. I don't know if God could convict me and I could be saved." And I said to that individual, "I think that you have a misunderstanding of what conviction is. The reality that you are standing here right now telling me that you are worried about whether you've gone too far or not is an indication to me that you've not gone too far. Because an individual that's gone too far and God's given them a reprobate mind, they don't care whether they're lost or whether they're saved, whether they're going to heaven or whether they're going to hell. In fact, if you present them with the possibility of going to hell, they'll shake their fist in the face of God and say, 'Go ahead, send me. I don't care.'" They don't care whether they're going to hell or not. But the fact that you are saying, "I'm worried about it," tells me that you've not gone too far. In fact, what I went on to tell them is the fact that you are worried about it tells me that God's Holy Spirit is convicting you right this moment. That is what conviction is. I know that we talk about conviction as a fast heartbeat, a rapid pulse, sweaty hands, sweaty brow, nervous feelings, scared all over. And it could be some of those things or all of those things. But conviction really is this. It is the Holy Spirit shining a light in your life and you realizing something you had not realized or cared about before. And that is the fact you are lost and you need a Savior. That's what conviction is. Well, the same is true when a believer goes astray. The Holy Spirit does the same thing for a believer that strays away from the truth as He does a sinner. You say, what is that? He shines the light of realization into their life. They realize where they are. They realize where they have been, where they could be. They realize they are in a mess. They have made a mistake and they need to make their way back to God. That is what God's Spirit does in the life of someone that strays away. He reveals where they are, and He reveals the way back to God. The Bible says she lights a candle. But not only does she light a candle, the Bible says she sweeps the house. She sweeps the house, diligently searching for the thing that is lost. Now, you all know what sweeping is. I don't think that I have to explain what sweeping is. I was thinking about this week and thinking about our house. Our house, you enter in the side door. Anybody comes to the front door and knocks, they are a stranger. If you come to my house, you come in the side door. And they knock on the side door and you have to go through my kitchen into my living room. The kitchen is the main thoroughfare of the home. Everybody that enters that way. That's the way the dog goes out, the way the dog comes in. That's the way that's the way you go through the house. And so our kitchen needs to be swept, and Davina and Caroline can help me with this. Well, I don't think Caroline sees it all the time. Davina can help me with this. The kitchen needs to be swept about. That's what it is at our house. And it is amazing. You can sweep, and an hour later, you could sweep all over again. That's just really the way that it is at our house. It's a main thoroughfare. It has to be swept. It is amazing what can accumulate that area just the matter of a day. Now, let me tell you something else that's amazing. It is amazing how much dirt can accumulate in our lives in just a matter of a day. See, all the world around us enters into our life, that main thoroughfare of our heart. It enters in through our eyes and it enters in through our ears. You don't even have to be looking for dirty. The world just offers it up to you on a silver platter. You can just be living life, minding your own business, doing your own thing, and through your eye gate and your ear gate enters filth all day long. It is for that reason that we, as the children of God, must allow the Holy Spirit to sweep our heart and clean our heart on a regular basis, because if we do not, it will not be long until we begin to go missing on some things that are valuable to us in our walk with Christ. Okay? And this is the way God works in the life of an unbeliever. The Holy Spirit sweeps in their life, bringing them to a realization that they need a Savior. God begins to stir up the dirt of sin that never was stirred up and never bothered them before. It happens that way in the life of one that strays away. It'll be in our next parable, the parable of the prodigal, that he goes to the world, he wastes his substance on riotous living, right? We all know that parable, and we're looking forward to that. At least I am. And he wastes his substance on riotous living. He finds himself in a hog pen with an empty belly, wishing someone would just offer him the slop the pigs are eating, and he would gladly take it, but nobody offers it to him. He is hungry, he is alone, he is away from his father, and something marvelous happens. What it is, the Bible says he comes to himself and he realizes it was better back the Father's house. Do you know what it was that brought the realization into his heart in the hog pen? It was not the pig. It was not the empty belly. It was the Holy Spirit sweeping the dirt around in his life and saying, you have let something go missing. It's time to go back home. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He begins to sweep the dirt out of our life. If you are away from Christ, from time to time, the Holy Spirit breezes into your life with His light and His broom, and He begins to bother you about some things. And what He is doing is saying, you are lost, you are lost, you are away. It is time to go back to the Father. If you're out of the will of God, God is concerned about you. You are valuable to Him. You are precious to Him. So I see the persistence in finding the thing that was lost. Last of all, number three, I see the praise when the lost thing is found. I see the praise the lost thing is found. Verse number 9 says, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Eventually, through diligent search and cleaning, the woman finds the lost coin. The coin was so valuable to her that when she finds it, she calls her friends together, and they rejoice because the thing she loved had been found. In like manner, there is rejoicing, according to verse number 10, in the presence of the angels when a sinner, when a lost thing is found and brought back into the fellowship. I was thinking about the two parables that we studied so far, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost. In these two parables, there's two principles that we understand. First of all, we understand what it means to be lost. To be lost, I think I could say it just this simplistic. To be lost means to be out of place. Sheep belong in a fold. The coin belonged on the chain. But when the sheep left the fold and the coin fell from the chain, they were out of place. They were not where they belonged. They were lost. This is the way it is when a believer is out of fellowship with the Lord. When a believer is not walking with the Lord, out of place. They are somewhere that they do not belong. They are lost. That has got to be one of the English language. Lost. You ever been lost? To be somewhere that you weren't familiar with. Be somewhere that you didn't belong. That lonely, scared feeling to be in that place you didn't exactly know where you were at. You didn't exactly know how to get back home. You knew you didn't belong where you were. That's a sad feeling, is it not? That is the way it feels in the life of a child of God when they drift away from the church. Sheep belong in the fold. Coins belong in the chain. Christians belong in the church. You say, I can do it as good at home by myself as I can in the church. No, coins belong with other coins on the chain. Sheep belong with other sheep in the fold. You won't convince me of that. Try it on somebody else. You won't get it past me. When a child of God gets away from the church, it bothers me, and I hope it bothers you, because I know it's got to bother them. At least I hope it bothers them. It means to be lost, to be somewhere you don't belong. If you're a child of God, you know you belong in the Father's house, and that's got to be a terrible feeling, to be away from God. To be in the world, to be in sin, because that is not where you belong. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim here. I don't belong in this world. Amen. Neither do you. We understand what it means to be lost in these two parables, but not only that, we understand what it means to be found. Oh, if lost is one of the saddest words in the English language, found has to be one of the best. Oh, that word found, it has such great meaning. To be found means placed back where you belong. Amen. To be back where you belong. It's happened to me a few times. You remember as a child, you'd be in Walmart, Kmart, store you went to when you was a child. They didn't have Walmarts when I was a kid. We went to Kmart and we went to Heels. Do y'all remember Heels? Do y'all remember that? All right, to be in one of those stores and you're with your mother and you get distracted by the toys, right? You do that and you wake up all of a sudden and you realize that you are lost. That's a terrible feeling, is it not? And you are panicked and you are worried. But after a few minutes, you hear mom's voice, your face. You realize you can get back to where you belong, back where you're safe, back where the family is. Oh, we not only understand what it means to be lost, but we can understand what it means to be found. And can I say the joy that floods the heart of an individual when they make their way back to the house of God, they make their way down to an altar, they cry out to a God in heaven and say, I have gone astray, I have been lost, I won't come back home. And the Father welcomes them back into the fold and the family. Amen. Oh, it means to be found. You know, it's interesting. I thought about this sheep and this coin. And I'm not saying this in a mean way. Understand what I'm saying. But when the sheep was away from the fold and the coin was away from the chain, they were of no value to the owner. But when they were found, there was rejoicing because the thing that was valuable was restored back into its service. Like sheep and the coin, a man or a woman that strays away from the Lord loses their value. Or maybe I could say it like this. You are valuable to Him. Therefore, when you stray away, it hurts His heart because you are no longer in His service, no longer in His fellowship. You have no value because you've gone astray. He wants you back because it's valuable to Him. Amen. Therefore, it should come as no surprise when these parables tell us when the thing that was lost, the valuable thing, is returned, the Master rejoices because the thing is restored. God knows where you're at tonight. To be the lost sheep or to be the lost coin doesn't mean that you've gone away from God and He has to come looking for you. You remember when Adam sinned in the garden and he hid himself and God come down in the cool of the day and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" God knew where Adam was. God just needed Adam to realize where Adam was. And sometimes God comes to us and, "Where are you?" We'll learn in the next parable with the son that stayed home. You can even be in the Father's house and still be lost. Yeah. Still be out of fellowship. And in a message like this, the Holy Spirit, where are you? Oh, He knows where we're at. He knows exactly where you're at. He just needs you to realize that. Where are you? Wouldn't you like to come back home? Sometimes we allow things into our life, some of that dirt that we've got to clean away. Sometimes we, like Paul warned about, just become weary in well-doing. In fact, I'll be honest, when I get through preaching, I have preached myself into the altar tonight. I've not made it there, but I'm pretty close. The Holy Spirit of late has been saying some things to me. When's the last time you come to church and just was thrilled to be here? When's the last time you come to church and sung a song and tears were in your eyes or a shout was on your lips because you were excited? But man, we get to going through the motions, don't we? We don't mean to, but we do. Adam, where art thou? It should come as no surprise when we read that there's rejoicing in heaven over a lost thing that is restored. The thing that was so loved and so valuable is brought back home. Let me say a couple things and I'll be done. Let me say first of all, I just got a third thing. I like the third thing maybe the most, so I'm going to say it first. Should we not want to come back home if it brings this kind of rejoicing to heaven? God wants you. You're valuable to Him. He's missing you. Number two, should we not also rejoice when a sinner comes to Christ, when a lost thing is returned? If it thrills heaven that much, should it not thrill us? We are supposed to be citizens of heaven. Number three, should we not strive to return the lost? If returning the lost and saving the sinner brings that much joy to heaven, should it not be our mission to do the thing that brings that kind of rejoicing in the presence of the angels? Well, if you want to come pray, you're welcome to do that. We'll give a minute for invitation. I don't think we need a song. We'll just have a moment for prayer.